Well, I have to admit to you that I was hoping about even before this time to get back to making our TV programs and get into some deep word and so on and so forth. But the Lord just keeps sending us direction and warnings for the things that are coming. And I'm appreciative of that. Some people don't want to know what's coming, you know, but that fear that you're maybe having a problem with is because of your relationship with the Lord is not right. You know, anxiety or fear about these things. Some people look on these things as, oh boy, the Lord's coming. Oh boy, we're getting closer to revival. Thank God, we'll be in the wilderness soon. We'll get to learn about God more, you know. That's some people have just a positive outlook about the things that are coming, and others are just so fearful. And it's because they don't have faith in God. They may be under law. They may be legalistic. They may be walking by sight. They may be looking at the old man in the mirror instead of the new man, Jesus Christ. They're not reckoning the things that be not as though they were. They're not seeing Jesus in the mirror. And so they're anxious and they're troubled and they know they're not ready. But that's the whole thing. You know, no matter where we are in our growth with the Lord, if we're walking by faith with Him, we're okay right there. You see? Because God's the one that's going to grow us up. He knows it and we should know it. You know, a lot of condemnation is from the fact that we think that we should have done better or we think we could do better, and so we're condemned because of that. But once we realize it's only the Lord that can do better and that we're supposed to be repenting and believing in Him to do it in us, then the situation can be quite peaceful. You know, we are calling the things that be not as though they were. We are resting in the fact that He has given us His life and He lives in us. And many people don't know the gospel. And that's something they need to study, because real faith and power is going to come from a person that understands the good news. That the Lord isn't expecting us to do this. He's expecting to do it. He wants to use our faith. And so we need to trust Him. And if we're walking by sight, it's very hard to do, because you're looking at that old man in the mirror and you're seeing the end times coming upon you, and you're wondering, how will you ever get ready? Well, the Lord's already taken care of that. He just wants you to cease from your struggles and your legalism in your mind and your condemnation, and just enter into rest in Him through faith. He can handle anything you can put in His hands by faith. And faith, of course, is believing you have received whatever you've prayed of Him and whatever the Word says you have. That's what faith is. It's very simple. So, anyway, I'm going to continue sharing with you some things that the Lord has been sending our way. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:29, it says, "Let the prophet speak by two or three, and let the others discern. But if a revelation be made to another sitting by, let the first keep silence. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be exhorted," and so on. And obviously, you know, the Lord has been sending us a lot of prophetic gifts here lately, dreams, visions, and prophecies, and showing us of the things that are coming. And recently we've been receiving quite a few revelations that are confirm one another. So we feel like we've getting a pretty good handle on what's happening. The world is shaking. They're wondering. You know, the market, you know, crashed last week really bad, and a lot of people got discouraged, fearful, started running, and of course some people doing it from wisdom and some people doing it from fear, pulling their money out of the banks, and there's been pretty much of a run on the banks and things, you know. And then we had a market rally here for 2 days that was really good, and everybody got happy, and people begin to get confident, and people think that, well, it's bottomed out now, and and it's on its way up, and oh, praise the Lord. And but they're just walking by sight, and the only thing that makes them happy is to see something good, you know. But we know it's all good. You know, we know we're in the hands of God. We know that He works all things together for the good. And so we don't get so up and down compared to what we see. Well, now today, the market kind of crashed a little bit again. Not too bad, but anyway, so where are we going? Well, I want to warn you not to walk by sight, because there's a trap coming. You know, we may have already entered into it. And for those who do walk by sight and don't listen to the Lord, they may be heading for a trap. Okay. I shared with you either last week, Sunday or Wednesday, I don't remember which, a prophecy by a guy named Harold Eatman. And let me share that with you real quickly again. He said, "I saw the stock market soar and then crash. After the first crash, many big business corporations and private parties bought up stocks because of the low cost to buy in. Then I saw the market begin to climb again in a short period of time. Then it crashed again, bringing tremendous loss, ruin, devastation to all who bought in the first time. This is what I have labeled two Black Mondays." Well, you know, in recent times here, we had one Black Monday. According to what Harold is seeing, is there's another one coming. And I believe that because the brethren have sent me at least three or four revelations that are saying exactly the same thing. That there is a crash coming, and it's going to be a little bit different this time. Because everything that you look at is going to be looking rosy, and all of a sudden this is going to come. It's not going to be on a downhill slide that this happens. It's going to be on an uphill climb that this happens. And let me read the rest of it. He says, "The time period between the two Black Mondays was very close together." Well, you know, we had two really good days, Monday and Tuesday. And I was noticing, watch a little bit or read a little bit of the news, and I see that people that are commenting, you know, they're are more positive and they're more looking up and so on and so forth. You know, and I suspect that more people are going to start buying into the market again, and that exactly what Harold prophesied it was going to come, or what he saw is going to come. He said, "I could not tell exactly how close the two Black Mondays were," he's talking about. "It could be a couple of days to a couple of months. There are some telltale signs indicating the season and the setting. I saw the season to be when the leaves fall to the ground. Then the first crash would occur." Well, he was right on that, wasn't he? "And I also saw the yen fall dramatically just before this sudden and inexplicable second crash." Sudden and inexplicable is how he described the second crash. That's exactly what the brethren have been seeing. Let me just share a couple of revelations that they've given us, that they all seem to be coming together, prophesying the same thing here, these prophetic dreams and visions that we're receiving. I've got three of them here, actually, three or four of them, that are pretty much saying the same thing is coming. And a little bit about how to get prepared for it, okay? Well, you know, I don't really have to get prepared for it too much, except for the money that is sent to the ministry, because I don't keep any money in my bank account, so I don't worry about that at all, you know. But I do want to take very good care of the brethren's, you know, stewardship, to make sure it all goes to where it's being sent for, you know. I'm being very careful of that right now. So anyway, Garrett had a dream recently that, or just a couple days ago, that that someone came to him and telling him that the three dreams that I'm about to read to you here were connected, which was kind of neat. Well, they do, they are connected. You can read them and see they're connected, but let me share them with you. This one is by Garrett himself. We've entitled it The Second Trade Center Crash and Leave the Cities. Sounds important, doesn't it? And, of course, if you left center out, it would be the second trade crash, which is really what this is about. The Lord is just using the trade centers as a parable to show us, and a comparison, you know, with the 911 to show us what's about to happen here. And we've already talked about leaving the cities from several prophecies and dreams and visions that we've had. And he's giving us signs about when you need to do that. I believe this is coming, folks, and I really believe that what God is saying here is exactly correct, and what people are receiving in dreams is exactly correct. Let me read on. He said, I had some kind of word from the Lord that another 911 attack would occur. I don't know if it was a dream or vision, but it was profound enough that I told the members of my family. A long time passed, and I seem to have forgotten about it. He's talking about still in the dream or vision now. Okay, a long time passed, okay. And I recall, after much time passed in the dream, something made me run into the stairwell of the apartment and proceed to the roof of the building. I could see that I was in a big city. And as I looked ahead, I could see the Twin Towers standing in front of me. And, of course, this is spiritual because they're gone, right? Okay, so this is a spiritual revelation of something in the future. God's not looking back to when the towers were there. Almost all of your dreams and visions are future, right? Present and future. So he's seeing this, and he's seeing it as a parable. He said, I realized that I was in New York City. There was panic on the face of all that were on the top of the building with me and on the street below. A plane had just literally been ripped out of the sky and thrown to the ground in front of the first tower. That's a little different than what actually happened, right? But this is what this is prophesying, right? A plane. I believe that the plane here represents the economy, okay? You know, that's what they were aiming for when they took out those towers, right? The economy. Whoever did it. I don't care who you think did it, right? So a plane had just literally been ripped out of the sky and thrown to the ground in front of the first tower. It was as if the invisible hand of God had done this. And it was kind of like that prophecy we just read, you know, it was beyond reason, you know, inexplicable crash, you know. Well, the next one's going to be even more inexplicable, okay. I looked down and I could see a mangled carcass of what used to be a commercial airline fuselage. The tower was not damaged, but the plane crashed right at the base of it. As I looked in the sky, another plane flew by the towers. That's the vision that you remember seeing on TV, right? The first one crashed and everybody looks up and here comes another plane, right? Well, that's what he's seeing. And it caught fire and suddenly crashed on the top of the second tower. That's totally different, right? The top of the second tower was like a pool that was filled with water. The survivors from the plane crash got out and floated around in the water. I was still on top of the apartment building watching this. I had been carrying around a bag of my flesh and had cut off of me. Interesting, folks. He had a bag of flesh, but he was still carrying it around, you know. When God was bringing his people out of Egypt to bring them into the wilderness, they had their bags of flesh with them, didn't they? Matter of fact, they were headed to the Red Sea baptism to get rid of their flesh in that water so they could enter into the wilderness, right? Well, that's where we are now, folks. We're right before the wilderness. And people are carrying around some flesh. But there's coming a baptism. And in this particular revelation, Garrett is changed, you know. But anyway, he said, I was carrying around this bag of flesh. And after I saw the second plane crash, which is the next crash of the economy, right? The crash of the trade center or trade, second trade crash, let's call it that, second trade crash. I threw the bag of flesh away. Praise the Lord. He's getting ready to go into the wilderness, isn't he? Okay. And I think this gives us some timing, because I'm convinced that this next crash comes just before the wilderness. Matter of fact, it's going to have a great deal to do with creating the wilderness for some people, right? And he goes on to say, he said, it was then, this bag of flesh was then carried over to the top of the second tower and landed in the water. In other words, God is making a parallel revelation here, right? He's showing us a parallel revelation. It has something to do with landing in the water, and it has something to do with him getting rid of his flesh, right? And I suspect that these trade crashes are going to deliver a lot of people from flesh, because it's become a god to many people, you know, what they've stored up. Some people don't have that problem, and they don't have anything to fear, you know. But if it is a god to you, if it is something that you trust in as your Savior, if it is something that you always turn to when you've got problems, especially if it's, as we were talking about here recently, debt or credit or all these things that are so unbiblical and have nothing to do with trusting in God, well, then I believe that this is going to help people. I really do. It's going to cause some people to look to God, and it's going to help some people to get rid of their flesh. So anyway, this bag of flesh was carried, because that's what we're walking around in here, right, is a bag of flesh, right? It was carried over to the top of the second tower and landed in the water. I saw one of the survivors grab the bag of flesh, and I said, no, don't touch it. But she grabbed the flesh and covered herself in it. And I was amazed that after she put on the flesh, she looked like she was in a brown monkey suit or costume. And he has in parenthesis here the beast, the outer man, right? That's what the flesh is, the old beast, the outer man, right? So, anyway, the people that were crashing, the second to crash on the top of the tower. Notice, one of them was at the foot, one of them was at the top. Okay, notice that. You know, the beast is destroyed in the waters of baptism, just like the Egyptians were, right? The old man, the flesh. So that the Israelite could go unhindered into the wilderness. And I believe that that's what we're going to see here, folks. I mean, he's giving us a timing of this now. This is the timing. That second crash has everything to do with us going into the wilderness. Okay? And Garrett goes on to say, he said, I am still unsure what this means, but the first plane crashed at the bottom of the first tower, and the second plane crashed at the top of the second tower. The towers still stood after these two crashes. I feel the Lord showed me that the two crashes of the these are two crashes of the stock market. Of course, we've already been through one, right? He said, we've seen the first, but there is a second coming. Just like the 9-1-1 attack, it was really planned, but was the judgment of God. Now the second crash is following the same path, but will come at the height of the market rally, because the plane crashed on the top of the second tower. It's planned, but made to look like it is the natural cycle of the market. Well, that's an agreement with the prophecy we read. This time, there's a second crash coming. It's going to be far worse. And this time it's going to be at the top of the market. And very inexplicable, just exactly what Harold was saying, very inexplicable, right? Then he continues with the vision he had. He said, at this moment, I looked at my mother and I realized that the thing the Lord spoke to me about was about to come to pass, a second 911 style attack. At that moment, I changed. I was so full of faith and peace. And when he got this revelation, a faith and a peace came over him. And as it will for those who have dumped their bag of flesh, right? Just rest and peace in the Lord. The Lord has everything under control. He's working all things after the counsel of his own will, and we can trust him. And if we ask him to, we really don't have an idol or a god, he will show us what to do with money, what to do with other things. He will do that. He is doing it, okay? And then me and my mom and sister ran inside our apartment, and I said, "We need to leave the city right now before mayhem ensues." Well, there's your timing again, folks. The second crash is very plainly telling us in this vision, just like some of them we just received recently, that this is a time to leave the cities, because mayhem is going to ensue. Yet we have no idea what is going to happen when a crash this bad happens and basic services go down and martial law and gas and diesel are not available and military is hauling in food and the people out there on welfare can't get their welfare, can't get their Medicaid, can't get their, all these kind of things, folks. This is what we're talking about here. This is what's coming. And you don't want to be caught in these cities when it happens. And if you'll listen to the Lord and ask him to tell you that, he will. He will show you when is the right time. As a matter of fact, we've been asking him that, and I'm reading this to you today to give you some kind of an idea of the timing so that you'll know what to do. I believe that in a very short time, we're going to see this second crash. It is going to be very inexplicable. It's going to be at the top of the market, not at the bottom of the market, when it happens. And he said, "I filled a couple of garbage bags full of food that was in the pantry, and we ran to the SUV to leave the city." It's kind of like Lot left the city just in time, right? And the fire came in right behind him. And he went to the little city of refuge in the wilderness, right? Zoar. And we've already seen that that's what the Lord has shown us in the past, prophesied to us in the past, that it was going to be like that. Okay? It's going to be like that all over this country and in many places in the world, because this is not just a local crash. This is going to be a world market crash. We said that before, and it came true, didn't it? It has been a world market crash. And why is that? Because America can't go down all by on its own. It can't happen. Because if you read the book of Revelation, and if you read the book of Daniel, and you read places, you find out what happened to Babylon, that Babylon wasn't conquered. It wasn't destroyed until after the tribulation. And the great eagle was downed after the tribulation. And in other words, to some extent, the eagle is going to stay at the head of the nations all the way through the tribulation period, even though it's going to be dying. The world itself is going to be dying. Okay. This seems plain. After the second trade crash, leave the cities. That's a sign to leave the cities. But before martial law sets in and these other things set in, because it's going to go bad pretty quickly. And as we have seen, the basic services will go down, and these places will be just like hell on earth. And crime will be rampant, martial law, and so on. This crash, I believe, can be seen, just like Garrett said, as the hand of God. You know, many people are looking to find somebody to blame for this, you know. But, you know, we don't have to look very far. It's us. We're the reason God is doing this. You know, it's because of what we need to be prepared to enter his kingdom. And we need this wilderness experience. We need this tribulation to help us, to motivate us, to give up the leadership of the old flesh, the old bag of flesh, you know, to give it up, throw it away, Let it drown in the water, you know. Leave it back there at the second crash and go into the wilderness, right? Just like the Israelites did, you know. Left their flesh in the Red Sea and went into the wilderness. Praise God. It's the gospel, right? And if you want to compare this to something, you can go on our site. There's a couple of revelations. One of them is the Gulf States going into captivity. And the Midwestern earthquake divides the U.S. / refuge, because the saints are going to the refuge. We've been seeing consistently for the last month the two messages there, captivity and refuge, are coming. So that was the first dream, and here is another dream. In fact, I think this one we've already shared, but I'm going to share it again because people haven't listened to it in connection with the one we just received there. And this was given by Doris, or given to Doris Hamilton. And we called it, "The King is Dead." The King is Dead. I hope you don't have any hope in the economy of this world. The King is Dead. She said, "I had a dream and I was looking at a mountaintop through some branches. As I was looking, an old-styled airplane, looking like a World War II gray silver flyer with an American flag painted on its side. It looked like an airplane, but it was flying or navigating like a helicopter." And of course we know, folks, that a plane cannot function under helicopter principles. It will just fall out of the sky, won't it? If there's not enough forward motion, a plane can't stay aloft. It can't be lifted. So, and of course, the economy is the same way. And the government-owned socialistic attempt is not going to save this free market. It's going to all be changed. All their attempts are going to fail until they do the very thing that we know from the Bible is going to happen. And that is a one-world economy. The world is running together right now. There are so much agreement between them that we've never seen before. So much agreement between the leaders of the nations. They are very cooperative. You never have seen this before. And what is it for? Well, it's to save themselves from this economic thing that they can see and they're not telling us about. They can see it better than we can. They got more information than we have. And they know that something very desperate is about to happen. And they're being so cooperative because of that. And this cooperation is going to be necessary for the covenant to be made with many. And that's on top of us, too. And this cooperation is going to have to be here in order to bring the dragon together, the dragon government of Revelation 12. So she goes on to say, she said, the helicopter went up, and it went down, and it wobbled a few times, and as it went from the left side of the mountain to the top, notice, top of the mountain. What do you think the top of the mountain is? Well, I think it's the high point of the market. Okay. On the left side of the top of the mountain, just as the helicopter went over the mountain, over the high point rally, right? It began to dive on the right side of the mountain. And I believe this is talking about the economy of America will stall and crash once again. There was an audible crashing sound followed by a lot of smoke and flames. If you remembered me speaking about the earthquake, and you remember this, a lot of smoke and flames. Then a voice said, "Elvis Presley is dead." And I awoke immediately and thought, that was a really strange dream. And when Kaylee and I sat down to talk about any dreams from the night before, I told her about this strange dream. We both kind of laughed, and just then I realized that it was not really Elvis, but the king was dead. Right? Yep, the king is dead. You know, the overindulging in everything is what killed the king, Elvis, if you remember. And America is very, very similar in that. The showboat king of the world free market economy is dying. And we can see socialism creeping in all the time, right? All this has to happen in order to bring about the new world order economy of the beast system. And I'm not saying that America is going to fall. I don't believe that. I believe America is still going to be at the top of the heap here. But her enemies are going to constantly sniping, you know, to bring it down. And it will eventually happen. It will eventually happen. Matter of fact, I think it takes about 7 years for that to happen after this last crash, this next crash. It's going to take about 7 years to bring it down to the place of weakness that the enemy can come right in and take America. And it's going to happen, folks. I know you think it sounds crazy, but it's certainly biblical. And if you don't believe that, you can go to our site and go to the front page and watch the conference videos from Hidden Manna for the End Times. And the conference videos. And go down to Fall of America and Rise of the Saints conference videos, and you'll see an abundance of revelation from the scriptures that prove exactly who America is, exactly to the day when America is struck by the enemy, and in relationship to the tribulation, exactly when Russia and China and Islam are going to come against America. And so if you have any questions about that, you go there. It's all scripture. Okay. She said, Kaylee and I then began to go over scripture given to her by the Lord when she woke up, and we began with Ezekiel 17:11-21. Ezekiel 17 is a prophecy of a civil war in the midst of America. God spoke that to me many years ago through the Word of Knowledge, and as I was looking at it, He showed me the 7-year covenant. He showed me the break in the middle. He showed me the two eagles, the two great eagles, which both represent America, and how that there was a civil war between these two great eagles. And so I believe that what we're seeing happening now is the foundation for that civil war that's coming. There's a lot of unhappiness, a lot of polarization between, you know, liberals and conservatives and people of color and people of not, so on and so forth. These things are, you know, if what I suspect could happen does, this is not a prophecy, this is just a thought, but we have seen some dreams that kind of point this out. You remember when Martin Luther was shot and what happened in the cities and things, and you know, it's kind of crazy when people go nuts like that, because they're not really striking back at the people who caused the problem. They're just striking out at anybody. That's crazy, isn't it? It's really crazy. Why people would burn down their own country, you know, when they don't even know who the perpetrator is, right? But we've got some of that coming. And some of you have sent in dreams and visions about Obama being shot. I can't imagine what would happen again if that happened. I think there would be big trouble. Okay. She said, I told her, oh, the dream is about the king dying. Then I told her that I thought it might mean that the president would die. Well, she didn't. That's not where she ended up with the revelation, but that's where she started with it. And as we thought about this, I got up to go into the kitchen, and I began to hear, Hail to the Chief, which started strong, but began to dwindle and finally stop. And if you have ever heard a band practicing the song starts strong with all the instruments together, and then the conductor signals the stop, and it does not stop abruptly, but each instrument trails off, and then finally everything stops. And that's what's going to happen too, folks. We're not talking about the death of a president here. We're talking about the death of the American economy here. And at least the free market economy here. Okay. Upon sharing this dream with others, the message began to point to the USA as the king of a world economic empire. Exactly. That's the truth. That's what it's really talking about. Just as the example of Elvis Presley, he was a performer that started strong, became ill with worldly indulgences, and finally died. And again, the U.S. is still going to be the head of the image of the beast. If you look at the prophecy in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 3, the great eagle, Babylon, was the head of the image of the beast that went all the way down to the toes, the 10 toes, right? That's both a historic prophecy and an end time prophecy. It fulfills both of those. And as an end time prophecy, Babylon, as you know, historically stayed at the top of that image of the beast for 70 years. And what we proved in Hidden Manna, that now is 7 years, that Babylon, the great eagle, will stay at the top of the image of the beast for 7 years. And then it will fall, just exactly like Babylon did. Babylon fell to the bear. The great eagle fell to the bear. And, of course, America is about to fall to the Russian bear. But it went all the way down to the 10 toes. And it will be conquered at the end of the tribulation. Then we got another revelation here that's very similar. And this one we named Bernanke Paulson Crash, Unavoidable. And Michael Weber received this. He said, it's an airplane crash again, okay? In a dream, I was watching a red airplane trying to take off. This plane could not get off the ground. It had two pilots, which after meditating on the dream, I realized it was the Federal Reserve Chairman, Ben Bernanke, and the Treasury Secretary, Henry Paulson. They tried towing the plane behind a vehicle to get it in the air, but nothing was working. It would get up in the air slightly and then fall back down. And finally, the plane bounced up into the air and started spinning violently. The wing fell off and the plane crashed to the ground. The two pilots looked hurt, but I wasn't sure if they were killed or just injured. I saw that the red plane is debt and the financial system, which is spinning out of control. And no matter what efforts are done to get it up in the air, it won't work. I agree. I think we're going to see an upward tick. It'll be very sharp. It will give some people some encouragement, but it will be followed by a bigger disaster. Okay? Now, I've told you what I felt like the Lord was saying in our dreams and visions, and what He was saying to me was two things. Number one, if you're storing up any money in the bank, it's not biblical anyway. get your money out of the bank and cash it in, because when this crash happens, you're not going to be able to get your money. And number two, we're in a transition here. We're never going back to the old system. Dollars are going to be devalued and cease to exist as a currency. If you cash it in and you get your dollars and you hold on to them too long, they're not going to be worth anything. I don't care what they go to. If they go to plastic, if they go to the Amero, if they go to a common currency, like that, which I don't think, if they do that, I don't think they'll do it very long, because it really is not the kind of one world order economic thing that will promote this dragon system. And I think they'll go to plastic pretty quick. But anyway, I say don't hang on to your dollars too long. Don't store up your treasures on earth. Use it for the kingdom. If God is sending you to a place, fine, go there, get your property or whatever, buy a cow, get some chickens, whatever, but don't hang on to it, because very soon, if you have to trade it in on Ameros, you're going to get nickels on the dollar. And if, if you go to plastic, the same kind of thing is going to happen. So I just wouldn't hang on to it. Okay, well, here's something else. Amy Methven, our treasurer, when you send money to UBM, it goes to Amy, okay? And she's a very prophetic person, had very good dreams and visions and things. And last night she had this. She said, in a dream, I was in a location midway between David and another UBM member who had moved to Maryville, Tennessee. Well, she didn't know it, but Brad Moyers just moved to Maryville, Tennessee. You know, he's our site manager. And so her dream was just one of those little confirmation God throws in there, you know, so you'll know what's going on, you know. Well, David had called me to tell me he was preparing for the difficult road ahead and that it was coming quickly. And I do truly believe that. He thought it would be wise for people to get money out of the bank, in very small denominations. He really emphasized the small denominations as if it were a very recent revelation. He asked me if I would get $1,001 bills for UBM. And he said we would need them because folks would not be able to make change for larger bills. Well, I believe this is some more of that direction from the Lord that he's given us, not just us, but you. You know, I think it will be necessary for you to have some small bills. I told him that I probably could not draw money out of UBM, and that's right, she can't. She can put it in, but she can't draw it out. And that the banks don't usually carry that many ones. I suggested that he put in a request to his local branch so that they could order in the money he wanted. Praise the Lord. Well, I think that this is probably some instructions for you too. You know, have some small change because big bills, which many people are drawing out of the bank, are not going to be easy to exchange, okay? And they're doing some really crazy things out there. You know, I was talking to somebody who had sold their house, and their realtor had told them that they had ordered the money out of the bank in cash because this person wanted it in cash. He didn't want to trust the bank, that the bank would have trouble or go down or not turn loose of the money in the 4 or 5 days it took him to order the cash. So he said he didn't want a check. He wanted cash. So they thought, well, this is kind of extreme. Well, of course, if you don't understand what's coming, you might think the same thing. But anyway, his realtor came back to him and said, they want $600 for us to draw the money out in cash. I thought, oh, I never heard of anything like that. Draw your own money out, and they're going to charge you $600? This is crazy. Things crazy are happening here. You know, crazy things are happening. This system is crumbling, and they don't really know what to do. Nobody really knows what to do. But we know what to do, don't we? We know what the Word says. And we know that what God is doing is He's bringing us to the biblical economy. The one that he loves so much, the one that we saw working in the book of Acts. And it's not buying and selling. It's not bartering. It's giving. Just giving. Trusting God. Giving and receiving. Give and it will be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. If you want to store up under Joseph for the 7 years of famine, Joseph very plainly was Jesus Christ. He very plainly, as clear as anybody in the Bible, was a type of Jesus Christ. He was sold by his own brethren into bondage to the Gentiles. He was lied about by the harlot, the wife of Potiphar. He was cast into prison. And we know Jesus also was cast into prison. He went and preached to the spirits in prison, didn't he? Just like Joseph did. And Joseph decided who was to go up and who was to go down, didn't he? Between the butler and the baker. And when he came out, he was Lord over all of Egypt. So we know that that's talking about Jesus. And that if you want to have everything you need in the 7 years of famine, you must prepare in the 7 years of plenty, which we have just come to the end of. I believe that was a true revelation I shared with you, that 7 years of plenty would go from 9/11 to 9/11/2008. We have a graph on the site that's pretty interesting, an economic graph that just falls right off the chart when it reached 9/11. I thought, wow, there it is. And of course, from that time on, we've been having these tremendous economic difficulties, crumblings, whatever you want to call it. So if you store up your treasures in heaven, how did he say to do that? He said in places like Luke chapter 12, Luke 16, Luke 18, it basically talks about meeting the needs of the brethren. Jesus said, don't store up your treasures on earth, where moth and rust and thieves break through and steal. Store them up in heaven. Then he told us how to store them up in heaven. Make for yourselves purses which wax not old. Right? You store it up on earth. He says the moth and the rust and the thieves are going to break through and steal. Well, that's what's happening. I mean, this is robbery. They're stealing it right now. So if we store it up under Jesus, you can't disobey Jesus if you're storing it up under Jesus. If you're storing it up under Jesus, guess what? He can restore it in the 7 years of famine, can't he? Well, that's where we're coming, folks. We're coming to 7 years of famine. Okay, one of the first judgments there is the black horse, right? The white horse, the red horse, which is war. The black horse, which is famine. And it'll take a day's wage to just get a meal, apparently. So that's where we're heading. But we don't have to worry about it because Joseph stands ready, Jesus stands ready to pass it back out during the famine. So we store up our treasures in heaven and we're getting prepared for these things. Contrary to the thinking of man, totally contrary to the thinking of man, people have their trust in their golden calf and they think that that's what's going to save them. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. You remember I shared recently the revelation by Bob Newman of the killing of the bull. There were several strikes on America that were going to ultimately cause the bull to pass away. Well, I think, like a lot of other people, that this bull was the bull market. That the economy is being systematically destroyed. And some people say, well, it's those banksters. It's those, you know, no, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. The Lord is the one who led Bob to watch the whole scene. And he saw as the bull was being struck by the beast. And the Lord took credit for it. The bull is being struck by the beast. This is the beast kingdom coming in. Who is the beast? Well, the Bible says the beast comes from the abyss, or the bottomless pit, depending on what Bible you have. And the beast is not a man. It's spirit. It just dwells in man. You know, the spirit that dwells in God's people is from heaven, and the spirit that dwells in the worldly people is from the pit. Okay? We're born from above. They're born from beneath. Right? So, the beast, you know, greed and all the other spirits that come out of the pit that's taken over mankind is bringing this bull to an end. Okay? But in particular, I want to talk to you about the fourth strike, you know, which I believe is where we're going now. Now, just take a second on this because we've already talked about it, but this is leading up to the third strike. He said, again, I heard a fanfare and cheers were louder and longer as again the bull was struck backward and nearly fell off of its feet. This was 9/11. The fourth assault, this is the next one, okay, the one that we're looking at now. The fourth assault left laceration across all four legs. And we discovered, by comparing this to a lot of other dreams that were saying the exact same thing, that this laceration across the legs was so that it couldn't move. There would be no movement. And we've also received many revelations that martial law, the loss of refined gasoline, diesel, things like that, the loss of money, the loss of the closing of banks, these kind of things are just going to shut the economy down. And there won't be any movement. Okay. But then the fifth assault turned out to be pestilence. This is a confirmation of many revelations that we've received. There is going to be a pestilence released when the country gets locked down. Okay. The fifth assault pushed its head down as well as it fell to its knees. Its whole body began to tremor and shake like mad cow disease. Right? And the interpretations on the next page, I'm going to share that with you too. The second blow cut deeply into its loins and weakened its strongest point. The third blow will come shortly. Guess what? That was just before 9-1-1. It was right on time. Okay, the third blow will come shortly, and it will strike it backward, and it will not recover its lost ground. That was 9-1-1. Okay, the fourth blow will now destroy its ability to move and evade the next blow, which will be pestilence. This is the Lord speaking to Bob. The Lord is interpreting the vision that he saw. So what we're looking at is this blow that we're talking about now that's coming is going to evade, is going to destroy its ability to move. And the blow that follows will be pestilence. Do you want to be in the cities where you can't move and where you're locked down and you're not going to be able to move around? No, I don't think so. You say, David, that's kind of discouraging. Well, it's going to cause a lot of repentance. Okay? And right now, repentance is necessary. If you were God and you had only 7 years to bring all of the elect into the place where they bore fruit, you might at this time do some drastic things. And I believe that's exactly what's happening. God doesn't get drastic. He sees the end from the beginning. He doesn't have to plan things. He doesn't have to assimilate knowledge like we do. His plans are perfect. He knows. He can see the end from the beginning. He doesn't fail because he sees the end from the beginning. He cannot fail. He's the only one that's sovereign that can see the end from the beginning. He makes every step perfect. He doesn't make any mistakes. They're all according to pattern. In case you want to know what he's going to do next, he's going to do what he's always done. Because he's going to repeat history, right?